P-minus 89. Principal point, Solar City Sanctuary. Without speaking, Dan utilized his telepathy patch to address the rest of his group. Our number one priority is getting home as soon as possible, so say nothing more than we have to about ourselves, and don't say anything about the architects as we actually know them to be, okay? We don't want to upset these guys. Tara and Billy agreed. We would very much like to return to our home world soon, Dan then stated aloud, trying to stay calm. If you would allow that, by enabling our craft to leave, we could tell our planet mates about your world, if you want us to, and there could be another return in the near future. The principal appeared surprised and a little saddened by the implication.
You can leave whenever you like, he insisted. We would not wish such a thing, of course, but please do not be under the impression that we would forbid it. I ordered your craft to be pulled in before we knew it was your craft. The stories of old did not refer to a craft such as that.
Much history has been lost to time, Dan said. So please assume we, the three of us standing before you, know nothing of what you speak. The principal returned Dan's gaze. Unlike Leisha had used to, he had no difficulty in expressing himself non-verbally in a manner easily understood by the humans even without having seen them make similar gestures or facial movements of their own. In this instance, he upturned his lower lip slightly and scratched his chin. Watching the tiny alien's three fingers and perfectly scaled thumb was an odd sight to behold. The smalls were even more almost human than the messengers, and possessed clear eyes that made up in sharpness what they perhaps lacked in depth and kindness. Dan couldn't help but feel like the principal was gazing into his soul, and in the confusion of these remarkable moments, couldn't be entirely sure that he wasn't.
Our gods arrived to warn of an imminent disaster, the principal said. Our air was to become noxious and inhospitable to life, and they alone could bring salvation.
Dan, unable not to, instinctively turned to Leisha. Just a few words in, the story already sounded only too familiar, and he had an unpleasant idea of where it was going. On New Kerguelen, after all, the architects had similarly warned the messengers that their home world was in the process of becoming inhospitable to life, and that the only way to survive the coming changes was to take shelter in what was truly an enormous cage. That cage kept the messengers in check so that they would develop along very specific societal lines to serve a very specific purpose in serving the architects' ends. Quite why the architects would have moved the smalls to a whole new planet to control their development didn't stack up in Dan's mind, and he wondered then whether the transcripts found on Earth and New Kerguelen, those found and decoded so recently, which spoke of a sanctuary world and appeared to present the architects in a far more altruistic light than their extensively deceptive actions on New Kerguelen had hitherto deserved, might have been full of lies woven to disguise a truth they could not risk becoming known. Like Richard Walker dropping all the fake breadcrumbs so I would buy the hoax a few years ago, Dan thought, his stomach churning at the thought of being masterfully duped again. The level and extent of deception the architects had pulled on the messengers meant that something like this certainly wasn't beyond them in terms of either competence or ethics, and all Dan's mind was lacking to make sense of the idea was a meaningful motive. All he could think of was that the architects may have wanted or needed to use the small's original host planet for some other reason. Some even grander experiment, perhaps, or some kind of... At that very moment, time seemed to stop as an uncomfortable and fantastical idea entered Dan McCarthy's mind. One so fantastical he was reluctant to even share it with his friends, but one so fantastical that it just might have been true. The idea didn't quite fit with certain elements of what he already thought he knew, but that was the whole point. There was so much tied into recent discoveries and events that he only thought he knew, with much of it resting on best guess assumptions and some on potentially shaky interpretations of the architect's transcripts. Looking at the small's principle and considering his words, Dan just couldn't shake this new theory. For a species so almost human to have evolved entirely independently was a point he found particularly difficult to comprehend, even among so many other challenging suggestions and revelations, and the new idea in his mind appeared to abate that incomprehension to some extent. The earlier mention of a year on the Small's original home planet lasting approximately 400 days, initially dismissed as a coincidental or unimportant detail, added further weight to this idea. The idea was a relatively simple one to understand, if not an easy one to accept. That the planet the architects moved the Smalls from when placing them on Sanctuary, an untold length of time ago and quite possibly in keeping with a hidden agenda that might one day become clear, could be closer to home than Dan had considered so far. It could be as close as it gets, he mused with an uneasy feeling of suspicion. The architects might have brought them here from Earth. The Smalls might have been phase one of some demented architect experiment. And we might be phase two.